classroom. If you have your Bible, turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. We are reading through the first five books of the Old Testament in 16 weeks. We went through Genesis and Exodus. We're halfway through Numbers. We'll finish that out this week and then be going towards Deuteronomy. So I hope you're joining us in this journey as we read through Scripture. And if not, I just encourage you to jump in where we are and start reading with us. So if you would stand for the honor of reading God's Word, Numbers chapter 6, starting with verse 22. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" Let's pray. Lord, this morning we are thankful that we can come to you acknowledging that you are the true God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and that you have chosen to bless your people. And so, Father, I pray that this morning we would receive this blessing and that we might release it as well, so that people may know you, follow you, serve you, and honor you. So God, help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I was doing research this week and in my study, I ran across an interesting archaeological discovery that there was a silver amulet found in a gravesite, in a coffin with someone that had this parchment tightly rolled up within it. And when they unrolled it, they could decipher words on it that was the Aaronic blessing. It was this blessing, dates back to the late 7th century, early 6th BC. And I thought that was an interesting find. Before we get into the sermon this morning, though, I want to highlight two insights from this text, okay? So I want to have like a pre-sermon before the sermon. Is that okay? I can get two for the price of one today. Is that okay? And so, but two insights as we look at this. I want us to notice something where it talks about the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel." He notices that this is a blessing to the people of Israel, and you shall say to them, he says, and then watch what happens. "The Lord bless you and keep you." The divine blessing that was supposed to be put upon the people of Israel, it was to the nation. It was a general blessing to the people of God, but yet it was also an individual blessing that each person could receive. Psalm chapter 40, verse 17 says this, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God." Think about that for a moment. That the blessing of God was not just for the nation, though it was for the nation. It was for every man and woman who put their hope in him. That today, the same blessing that was given to them, God is still giving his blessing to people through Jesus our Lord, that we can receive a blessing, you, for you. Now let that sink in, because I don't know, some of us battle maybe a low self-esteem, or you feel unworthy. You know, that God would love me, he would put a blessing on me. I mean, because we know ourselves, right? And we know what the Bible says, that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all else, who can know it? And we know that we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God, and we wonder, but how could this God, who is so holy, show an interest in me? That's exciting. That God wants to impart his blessing to you, the creator of the universe, wants to bless you. Yes, let that sink in. The second insight I want to bring out, it's better if you have your Bible open because you'll see it more clearly. I might have a slide, I don't know, that has all three of those verses together. I'm not sure. Yeah, there it is. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Do you see the tripart language of the Lord? Notice how it says the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Why? Because grammatically it doesn't need to be there. You could just say the Lord bless you and keep you, may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. You could say it that way. That would make sense grammatically. But it doesn't. It says the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. And the Lord, if you have your Bible open, it should be all caps. Is it all caps? It's the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's the divine name Yahweh. It is the name that God revealed to Moses. I am that I am sent you. It is the Lord God that is above all gods, that is the one true God. He is imparting his blessing. And the rabbis saw that as a distinct remark, saying that the Lord is emphasizing the reality that this blessing is not just coming from the Aaronic priesthood. It's not going to come from the Levites. It's coming from the Lord himself. That God is imparting his blessing upon his people. It's the Lord who wants to bless you. The lesser is always blessed by the greater, and he is the great King, Lord, God Almighty. And I think those are two insights that we need to make sure that we see before we get into the text of the scripture and see how this applies to us and how we might look at it. It's a promise being fulfilled. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember when God called Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, leave your family and go to the land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to make you a great name. I'm going to make you a great nation. And all peoples of the world are going to be blessed because of you. The blessing. God is blessing his people so that his glory may be known. And so when we see this blessing, we see it as God's emphasis. Christian theologians of times past, some of the early church fathers, saw the Trinity in this. Saw that this three-part, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, was a reference, if we're looking at the Old Testament through the New Testament lenses, that the shadow of the Trinity that was kind of hiding the eyes of the Hebrews lifted when Jesus came, and the New Testament makes clear, may the Lord bless you and keep you, God the Father, his love. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, God the Son, salvation. And may his countenance be towards you and give you peace, God the Holy Spirit, to impart. The Aaronic blessing has its counterpart in the New Testament, known as the apostolic blessing or the apostle blessing. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, that says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, Living Water, that should sound familiar to you if you've been here any time. Actually, when we moved into this new location, that's how we began ending the service. We hadn't done that throughout the entirety of the church plant. But when we moved here, it was just seemed fitting on that first Sunday to have extend a blessing upon God's people. And it just was felt so right that we just kept it. Because here's what that's saying. When we say the blessing, when we read the scripture together, what we're saying is let every man and woman know throughout this county that the people of God here at Living Water Church, our God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we worship the Lord God Almighty. He is our King. He is our Lord. And let that be a declaration that we serve and honor Him. All right, y'all ready for the sermon? Here we go. We see three values of this blessing to the Hebrew people and to us as well. And these values are His protection, His pardon, and His peace. Let's look at the protection first, that the Lord protects us. That is the first blessing there in 24. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, blessing in the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of the Bible. That's what we're going through, what we're reading. The blessing in the Pentateuch, and more particularly here in the book of Numbers, includes this: numerous descendants, fruitful land, good health, long life, protection from enemies, and God's abiding presence. We know that God was true to that promise. He was true to His blessing that He imparted to them. As they're wandering in the wilderness, we'll discover and know that they had shoes that never wore out. They had clothes that never wore out. That they were provided with food and shelter and His glory cloud and the fire at night that kept them warm. His presence was among them. John writes in 3 John, "Beloved, I pray that you may go well and that you may be in good health as it is with your soul as well." We must understand that not only the people of Israel was blessed by God, that we are blessed by God and we are dependent upon Him for everything. And the scripture says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. In Him there is no darkness. Yeah, you see, you thought you got the raise because you're that smart. No, it's because that God's that good. Amen. He's given you the abilities. He's given you the talents. If you didn't have God blessing you, you would have absolutely nothing. The skill that you have, that's by God. Your intellect, that's God. The very breath in your lungs is a gift of God. If it wasn't for God, we would not live. God's blessing gives us life. Blesses us with children, blesses us with families, blesses us with a future. Ultimately, we see the promises of God being fulfilled in the new heaven and the new earth when Jesus comes and He ultimately protects us from the enemies, where there is now no more curse, no more dying, no more sin, and no more suffering. We've been given a promise as God's children that His blessing is going to fall upon us and He will bless you. He's made a promise. And the one thing that we know about God is He is a promise keeper. Amen? He will bless you and He will keep you. To keep you, it means to keep watch over, to guard, to protect, to keep from harm or dismay. When I think about being kept, I think of Psalm 23. I think of the Lord is my shepherd. That shepherd guards over, protects His sheep. If a wolf comes, he takes his rod and he beats that wolf away. He's protecting from the enemy. He brings them in the sheepfold and He leads them beside quiet, still waters. Not rough waters where they might fall in and drown, but quiet, still waters. He anoints our head with oil, right? He's the one that guards, protects. He even chases down. Sheep are prone to wander. Wander, prone to wonder. I wonder what this is like. I wonder what would happen if I tried this. We're prone to wonder, and I'm glad that we have a God that chases us down. Amen. If a sheep wanders out, the shepherd will break the leg, put it over shoulder, bring it back, and then mend it, heal it back, so that sheep will not run away again. I'm glad, you know, sometimes God has to break our leg, doesn't he? Huh? Sometimes he has to break our leg. If we wander out too far, we're about to destroy ourselves. He'll bring us back. He keeps us. Jesus would often refer to himself as the good shepherd, right? In John chapter 10, we have that good shepherd passage where he says, I am the shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I have them in the palm of my hand, he says, and no man shall snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all, and I and the Father are one. Kept by the hand of God, guarded, protected. I tell you what, I don't know anything else, but I like to know that I'm being kept by the mighty hand of God. What about you? Huh? He guards over. Now, in high school, I took home ec class twice. Not because I failed. See, y'all just assumed, pastor failed home ec. There was multiple types of classes that they could teach. That's how they got by with it, that we could have it twice. We got to select what we wanted to do. Usually we always picked, you know, food, baking, and cooking, so we could make our own food and eat there instead of in lunch. And then we would do a family unit, right? And in that family unit, we would do one on parenting. And what they would do is you would have to draw if you had a boy or girl and what it was going to be. Is it going to be an egg that you're going to have to carry around, or is it going to be a bag of flour that you're going to have to pack around? Now, if you got the egg, you knew that could break a little easier. So you had to make sure that you were making a good crib for your baby, right? We had to decorate the egg, you know, put a face on the egg, and we had to carry it for so many weeks. And you know, I'm walking through high school class with my egg. Yeah, Chase. That's right, and I've made it real good. You know, I'm styrofoam. I'm there's all kinds of things. I'm like, this egg, because if the egg broke, you know, then that affected our grade. And I was like, and you had to watch your buddies. You know, they kind of mess with you, right? If they saw your egg just sitting on the desk, they just knock it off, right? They knock it off on you. So you had to make sure that you were guarding your egg with your rod and your staff, right? It's my egg. My baby, you ain't messing with my egg. And so you had to guard and protect. And that egg was in the palm of my hand, and it was with me at all times, and I wasn't going to let anybody crack my egg. I will bless you, he says, and I will keep you. I won't let anybody mess with you. I'm going to guard you. Now, you might have to fight some battles, and there might be some scars, there might be some storms, but I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to be with you. You know, when they went to that promised land, we're going to read when we get to Joshua, there were some battles they still had to fight, but God was fighting for them. There's a difference between when you go through the storm by yourself and when you go through the storm with the Lord. Because he doesn't promise that he's always going to keep us from the storm, right? But he's going to guard us through it. So there's going to be trouble come. There's going to be storms come. But he's going to keep us all through that. That's his protection. Second, his pardon. There in verse 25, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be what? Gracious to you. The face of God can either have a look where you want to run to him or run from him. There is a look of God that makes men want to run. It says in Revelation that there will be a time when they'll flee to the mountains. They won't repent. They won't turn to God. Their heart will be so hardened. Sometimes our heart is so hardened, we don't want to see the face of God. We don't want to look at God because sometimes God has that look. I tried to master early on as a parent the stern look. There is a look of displeasure. And then there is a look of one that is of applause and receives and says, my favor is with you. I'm proud of you. I'm looking your way. I am not avoiding you. I'm going to see you through a father's loving eyes and have my face towards you. I'm not going to turn my face. Any of you all, when you were growing up, my sister would do this all the time. She had to have somebody's face looking at her when you were talking. I remember watching her. She was my aunt. She'd do this to my aunt. She'd do this to my mom. And if she you know, listen when she's little, they'd be sitting and she'd be talking to them. If they weren't looking, she'd grab their chin and turn it because she wanted them to look at her. His attention is on you. When you're his child, he is not someone that looks at you sternly or turns his head away from you. No, his face shines upon you. And if it's to his people, it's that sun that shines, right? That sun that shines down, it melts the snow, but it also hardens the clay. And some people see the face of God and it is comforting and it's God is with me, he's for me, he's blessing me, he's got his hand toward me. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that I have my face toward you. I see. Aren't you glad to know that God knows what you're going through? We actually have a high priest who sympathizes with us because he went through it too. Ever been disappointed? So is Jesus. Ever been ridiculed? So is Jesus. Ever been betrayed? Let down? So is Jesus. He sympathizes. We have a great high priest that sympathizes. Jesus' face shone in the incarnation. God's face shone through the incarnation. John 1 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law, there in verse 17, was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, but he, Jesus, has made him known. You know what, with the incarnation, when Jesus came, he revealed the face of God. That the Word would come flesh and dwell among us so that we might behold his glory and see who he is, so that we might believe in him, trust in him, as he showed the great love in which he loved us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And he was lifted on the cross, placed in the tomb, and he rose again. Amen. His face shined. His grace gives us salvation, strength, and favor. In the New Testament, Paul will often say things like this, I give thanks to my God for all of you because of the grace that the Lord gave you through Jesus Christ. Grace through Jesus, grace through Christ. Grace and peace be to you. Grace. You should know this verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man should boast. Grace brings salvation. Aren't you glad for grace? He saves us, but he also gives us strength. Paul, who dedicated his whole life to God, he prayed three times to God to remove this thorn in his flesh. We don't really know what that thorn is. We have some ideas what we think it might be. We don't really know what it is, but whatever it was, if you describe something as a thorn in the flesh, that means it's not good. Amen? And he says, he prayed three times. This is Paul, the apostle. He said, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. God said, no. He prayed again. But Lord, remove this from my flesh. God said, no. You think if anybody would have got an answer from God, it would have been Paul. Huh? But he's telling Paul, no. Anybody ever hear the word no when you pray? Huh? You see, God's not a vending machine God where you put your prayer change in and you say, Lord, I would like this one. And you punch it and he has to do what you say. That's not God. Paul asked him a third time, Lord, to remove this thorn from his flesh from me. He says, no. You know what he tells him? He says this, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Don't worry about what you're going through. Don't worry about the heartache. Don't worry about the pain. Don't worry about the agony. Whatever this is that's bothering you, here's what I need you to do. Don't focus on that problem and that pain that's in the thorn of your side or whatever it might be. Focus on me because I'm with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to keep you. I'm guarding you, and my grace is more than enough. It's a grace that he gives us exactly when we need it. You see people go through things, through trials, through sicknesses, through disappointments, through losses, and you think, man, how in the world are they going through it? It's the grace of God. His favor is known through his grace. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. When you say, may the grace of God be with you, what you're giving a blessing. You're saying, may God's favor be towards you. May his protection be upon you. So we have his protection, his pardon, and then we receive his peace. Look at verse 26. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you what? Peace. May his face shine upon you. May his countenance be toward you. And may the smile of God come upon you. Growing up, I was really close with my grandfather, and he always called me his boy, and he liked to watch me play basketball, but his favorite sport was baseball. He loved to watch me play baseball, And I remember one game specifically because he hadn't been feeling that well. And I lived there in Ashland and at Fairview, went to Fairview High School, and we played in Magoffin County. And that is a pretty far trip from Ashland to Magoffin County. And they traveled and they went to that game. And I remember he had his lawn chair and he sat out there and he was watching. And I was pitching that game, right? And obviously I did really well. I did do well though, but I did pitch a good game. I had a home run that game, and I remember rounding the bases and seeing the smile of my grandfather, you know, and man, that's you can't express how you feel when you see, you know, your grandparents smile. Your mom, your dad smile. Someone that cared that they when they smile, they said, and their favor. They're just proud. And the blessing says that God is going to look upon you, look towards you, smile upon you, and grant you his peace. Peace. Man, that's priceless. The peace of God. That's imparted by the Holy Spirit, right? He gives us peace. Now, here is another promise from Jesus. This is one we don't really like to claim, but here's what he said. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble or tribulation. You will have trouble. Here's the promise. Here's the blessing. Fear not, for I've overcome the world. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will flood your heart and give you peace that no matter what you're going through, where you are in life, the peace of God can rule over you. That is a tremendous blessing. Amen? So this blessing that God gives here in Numbers was to individuals. Yeah, it was for the nation. Yeah, it was for the people of God. But it was for all who believe in the Lord, which means it's also for you. It's for me. For everyone who would call upon the name of the Lord, this blessing falls to. We are to receive that. Okay? So this morning, I hope that you will receive the blessing of God. But not only should we receive it, but we have to release it. Now, we say receive it. Oh, this is how God blesses. This is how God blesses. Yes, Lord, yeah, bless me. I want you to bless me, and I want you to keep me, and I want your face shine upon me. I want your grace. I want your countenance to fall my way, and I want your peace. Yeah, but it's not just for you. It's for you, but it's not just for you. Remember what he told Abraham? You shall be a blessing to all peoples. The blessing was to be realized and released. Look at what it says here in verse 27. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. This is a blessing that marks you as one of his. This blessing is for you, and you are to be my people. And in the Old Testament, his people were to be a light to the nations. Micah 4:5 says, for all the people walk each in the name of its God, but we walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. They may follow a different God, but we're going to follow the true God so that we might let the nations know how great of a God we serve, that he is the true God. Now, the psalm says in Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah, so be it. That your way may be known on earth. Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. So we see that God's favor and God's blessing, yes, was for the people of Israel. It was for them to experience a living, loving relationship with the Lord God Almighty. But it was also to be a witness to the world that the Lord is the one true God. And that, see how good he is. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Light to the nations. We see this ultimately realized through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, who calls for himself together a people that will go into the world and be his witnesses, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And then in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, he says, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. That Jesus came to bless us. How's he going to bless us? By providing salvation and redemption and forgiveness. By turning you from your wickedness so that you might encounter the true Lord, that you might be forgiven, set free, given eternal life, a hope of heaven, this blessing was to be released through the disciples, through every one of God's people. We were to be a living testimony that Jesus is Lord. So our life ought to be a witness. It's a blessing. The blessing of God should be released. Parents, let me give you some parenting advice, especially if you've got young kids, even for older kids, never grows out, because you see this blessing. It was first originally spoken by the Aaronic priesthood, the Levites. They would speak it over the people. But then later, the elders of the community, the older men, would then begin to speak the blessing upon the younger men. And the fathers would then speak the blessing over their children. At a young age, I started this. I would look at Caleb in the face, and I'd look at Micah in the face every so often, and I would say, the Lord loves you. He has made you. He has created you for a purpose, that you might know him, serve him, follow him. Always believe in him, always trust in him, always follow him. Good choices have good consequences. Bad choices have bad consequences. Always follow the path of the Lord. I tell Micah, you are beautiful. You are smart. You are lovely. God has a hand upon you. It's a blessing that we're supposed to speak to one another. The author of Hebrews captures this when he says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but when you come together, encourage one another as you see the day approaching. How are we to encourage one another? We're to release the blessing to one another. We know somebody's going through a hard time. Doug, I know you're struggling with your mom right now. You know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. He will guard you and protect you. Speak blessing over people's life. If you know somebody that's hurting, they're down, pray over them, bless them, speak a blessing over them. Altar time. That's not just a time to give your heart and life to Jesus, though that's one reason for the altar. If you need to know the Lord Jesus and be saved, the altar is open. And say, Lord, I need, and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. We'll pray with you. The altar is not just a time to repent, though that's a good thing too. Lord, forgive me. I need to repent. I mean, I need to be renewed. That's a purpose of the altar. But the purpose of the altar is also just, hey, I just need a prayer. I need somebody to pray a prayer blessing over me. I need the favor of God on my life. I need his protection. I need his peace. I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need his love. I just need someone to encourage me. And so we pray. We encourage. So, man, how exciting would it be if our church services just started breaking out in blessing services? And when you see somebody that you know is struggling, you just go over there and you just bless them with a word. Hey, the Lord's not forsaken you. He is with you. He will empower you and encourage one another. The blessing. It is to be received. And may we receive it, but it's also to be released. So may we release it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love and your mercy. That you'd be so good to us that you would bless us. Even when we act contrary, we've been stubborn and selfish, that you'd bless us and keep us. Lord, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious. It's an overwhelming thought that you'd have your countenance upon us and grant us your peace. We are so thankful. God, if there's someone that's hurting, they need prayer, I ask that they would just come and let us pray over them. Lord, there's someone that needs to know you, that today they would call upon your great name. There's some that just needs to repent and say, I need to be renewed. I need the joy of my salvation to be returned. That they would do that. So Lord, whatever you're speaking, Lord, if someone sees somebody just across the other side of the room, that they would just go over to them and bless them. Holy Spirit, move and speak in Jesus' name. Amen.